for tuning in to the Illuminations podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. I'm your host, Nia, and I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, yoga teacher, and sound therapist here at Illuminations. And it gives me so much joy to come back to you guys each and every week with another speaker, another topic, and just to share some insight and learnings and just to brighten your days. So this week we have a great speaker with us. Her name is Anne Marie, and we have a very, very special topic as well. But let me first tell you a little bit about Miss Anne Marie. Miss Anne Marie McQueen is the founding editor-in-chief for Live Healthy, the Middle East's only fitness, health, and wellness online magazine, podcast, annual festival, and event company for men and women in the Middle East. She was a columnist and national trends writer for a major newspaper chain in Canada before moving to Abu Dhabi in 2008 to join the team that launched the national newspaper. Among her achievements are awards from the Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists of Canada and the Registered Nurses Association of Ontario for Excellence in Health Writing and Feature Writing Award from ITP for her feature on the Women of the Special Olympics. She also launched her own platform about menopause, transition, and hot flags incorporation. So thank you so much, Miss Emery, for joining me today. It's such an honor to have you here.
It's great to be here. I love speaking to young people about
menopause. And I can't wait to hear all the wisdom that you will be sharing with me and our viewers today. So let's dive deep into our topic for today. And it's all about women, menopause, and the fear of aging. So my first question to you is, according to you and, you know, the experiences you've had, what are certain mental and emotional challenges women go through as part of aging?
Well, it's funny because I'm 51 now and I'll be turning 52 in a couple of months. And if you told me at age 30, well, I knew I was going to turn 51 someday or 52, but I just never thought past, I never thought past 40, you know, I dreaded 40. Like most women, when you're 30, all of a sudden you feel like you're too old. And if you're not doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing at that time, and I don't think any of us feel like we really are at any time in our life, feel like we're doing exactly what we should be doing. The fear starts, I'd say, around then. And it started for me around then. Mm. And I never got married or had kids. So I had a sort of a struggle as I went because you're feeling your expiration date coming. And when I think of myself at 35, 36, 37, feeling old and feeling like my life was passing me by in terms of romance and family because I couldn't just find what I want.
Was this because of everyone around you was living that particular life and you felt left out?
That and all the messaging we have about how to live and what to do and how to be, and all the messaging we have about, you know, your fertility is waning. And along with that, you just always think that your fertility, which you're told is waning from almost right after it was at its peak.
Yeah.
So you're living with that for decades. And then when it actually starts waning, you don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, menopause is the transition. It's the other end of puberty. It's a very natural process and it can happen, you know, late 40s, 50s, but 10 or so years before that, up sometimes even 12 for some people, you can start having symptoms of perimenopause. And a lot of women just don't want to face it. We also don't know a lot about it.
Yeah.
But I think it's all wrapped up in aging fear, because if you start having symptoms of perimenopause, that could mean that you're heading towards menopause. That means your fertility is waning and the thing you've feared and the thing society has been telling you for so long is happening.
And what are some symptoms of menopause?
Okay, so Well, menopause is the transition where, you know, your fertility ends. So basically it's counted as a year without a menstrual period. That's basically the definition. So it's a moment in time because right after that you become postmenopausal. But what I never knew was that this period before, this perimenopause, oh, I mean, there's dozens, maybe. I have a friend who's tracked 85 symptoms. Because when you're, you know, in perimenopause, what we're told is that our estrogen is just going down mm-hmm. and our progesterone is going down and mm-hmm. our testosterone. But really our estrogen is crashing up and down. Mm-hmm. So it's creating sort of like this PMS-like roller coaster in you, and it can affect absolutely everything. It can bring anxiety, sleep problems, you know, really weird things like tingling and itching on your skin. Mm-hmm. There are so many joint aches and pains, frozen shoulder, burning tongue. Like there's so many weird ones.
No way.
I saw a TikTok video the other day where the lady was just scratching her ears and saying, ears are so itchy, my ears are so itchy. And I thought, that's so weird because my chin's been so itchy. And it's because you have estrogen receptors all over your body. So it affects literally every part of you.
And why does this cause a lot of anxiety and stress in women? Is it because it's associated to their fertility waning off, or is it associated to, I don't know, their womanhood in some way? Like, why do you think this causes a lot of stress and anxiety in women?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. But one big one is that a lot of people don't know what's happening. Like, I didn't know it was happening.
So the unknown.
Yeah. I mean, I just didn't know what was happening to me when I hit my 40s. I did not know. I was in the ER for chest pain. That's another symptom.
I had
a full cardio workup. All my eyelashes fell out and I had a panic attacks.
Wow.
I was at probably 10 doctors and naturopaths and trying to figure out what was going on, and no one ever said perimenopause. And I was a health journalist. So how did I not know that was going on? And you hear this story told over and over and over. Women just don't know that perimenopause can sort of wreak all this havoc, particularly if you've burned the candles at both ends, if you haven't sort of dealt with some of your trauma and your stuff by then. That can make your perimenopause worse. If you've been, you know, under eating, over exercising, if you've pushed your problems down, you haven't learned how to deal with your emotions, if you maybe drank too much, bad lifestyle habits, all of these things can make it worse. But if you don't know what's happening to you, that's very anxiety producing. But it also just produces anxiety because of the hormonal fluctuations. And then I didn't realize till 48 that I was in perimenopause. I even read a chapter in a book, a really famous American, she was Oprah's menopause doctor, Dr. Christiane Northrup. At 45, I read the chapter in her book, Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom, and she made it seem actually pretty great. You know, she's like, there's this natural transition and your adrenal glands take over the production of whatever estrogen you need for the rest of your life. And then when you pass through menopause, your hormones actually level out at a level that's sort of akin to those really powerful days of your cycle. You know those days when you're like Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
In your cycle, and you're like, why can't I always get this stuff?
Right,
done?
Yeah.
So I closed the book and I thought, that's great. You know, like in whenever, like down the road.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I was in full-blown perimenopause and not even knowing it.
Oh,
and
my.
It wasn't until I was 48 that I realized, because I missed a period. That's when you can't argue with it anymore, right?
Okay.
Like there's no reason. But if I had known, it would have been a lot easier. So it's sort of a combination of the hormones, if you don't know. And yes, it's upsetting. Like if it starts happening to you when you're in your early 40s and maybe you wanted to have another baby, maybe you wanted to have a baby, maybe you're not married yet. Like society just makes this seem sort of so shameful still when you feel like you're young. And that's why when I realized it was happening, I wanted to start talking about it.
And I can imagine how this can take a huge toll on your self-esteem as well, right? So how can women navigate through that loss of self-esteem, perhaps, maybe the effects it can have on motherhood, on relationships with your partner? Mm-hmm. Can you shed some light on that?
Well, I think the most important thing, you know, women say all the time, I didn't know. And I think there's a part of us that did know and didn't want to know. So I think denial is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And denial, because we've bought into all that stuff too, that we're going to be finished when this is over, when that's it for us, you know? Yeah. And I see this sort of messaging all the time. I just saw a meme. One of the reasons I got into this to do social media was to have funny memes, not like entertainment type memes, you know? It was about a woman who said, between the lack of libido, it's another symptom, and my changing body, another symptom, weight gain, and my self-esteem, I just, dating doesn't seem interesting. And it was supposed to be funny, and I just said, this is really sad. Like, this is, you know. But basically what's happening at this time is a huge recalibration. And I think the most important thing is to focus on the fact that once you go through this recalibration, whether you get supplements, whether you get hormone replacement therapy to help you through, CBT, all different kinds of modalities can help you.
Yeah.
Once you're on the other side of it, you're pretty awesome. You're pretty happy. And all you have to do is to talk to any woman who's 60 or who's gone through it, and they are having a great time. And I'm going through it, so I'm almost 52. I can tell you, me at 52 versus 50 versus 48, 47, I don't care about that stuff anymore. Like, just calling it by its name, and you become more fully yourself. So the wisdom and experience that you've accumulated, if you let it, you just become the person you were always meant to be.
Wow.
But of course, like any transition, there's a huge struggle. So you have to lose the thought of yourself as a young woman, you know? And if that was a big part of your self-esteem, you know, your looks, your body, your all that stuff, like, that's going to be a really hard transition. And at this time, women are also going through so much because they usually have teenagers, or they have kids leaving the house and going off to university, which is the biggest loss, you know? It's like, I have friends who've just given up everything for 20 years for their kids and not kept up sort of their own personal development because they didn't have any time. But they're faced with just, it's just like, boom, a loss, you know?
Wow.
And then we also at this time have aging parents, so there's a real squeeze when you think about it. And I mean, it's also a time when people have been married for 20 years, stuff might need to be sorted in those relationships. Or there are people who had maybe thought, I'll just end this marriage, right? There are people who are just sort of biding their time until their kids leave. Or there's relationships that need therapy, and then they can become the relationships they always wanted them to be. There's just so much happening all at once. Plus, we get these messages from media and pop culture. That's changing. I'll talk about that. But, you know, there's just so much going on for women at this time to stay and believe that you're still going to be a vital, important part of the world.
As you're saying this, what's coming to me is, it's actually a lot of loss in many different areas of your life coming all together, and that you just have to deal with it all at once. It's a loss of your identity as a young woman. It's your loss of identity as a mother when your kids leave off. It's your loss of your parents because of their old age. It's a loss of the romance or your sex life in your relationship, or the changes in your relationship. So I can imagine how hard it must be for women in that phase. And if you don't know what's happening, if you're not aware of these changes, if you don't have that skill or probably ability to nurture or hold your hand through that process, I can see how you could just go down this downward spiral, and just, it can take a massive toll on you, correct?
Absolutely. Let's not forget the workplace, because you're working, and if you're not in a workplace that respects older women, some fields are really bad for this. Apparently law and advertising are two of the worst. I would say journalism isn't great either, you know, when you have young hotshots coming along, working for cheaper, you're having trouble working anyway, you're not sleeping. The thing is, women at this age are really, really vulnerable. I mean, there's all sorts of studies about how much more vulnerable we are to suicidal ideation, to suicide actually, to depression and to anxiety.
Yeah.
And there's been some really high profile cases. There was a solicitor and mom of three in the UK, and her husband and mom recently went public and said, you know, she committed suicide in August 2021, and she tried three times before that, and she was under the care of a therapist. But they're adamant that this perimenopause transition hit her super hard. She wasn't someone who was had anxiety or anything. She was a really steady hand, and they tried to get her help. And this is a common thing, like just the way you described it, all of those losses. And there's also been a study about how resilience, it was published in the Journal of the North American Menopause Society last year, how resilience is one of the most important skills you can imagine when all this stuff is going on. If you've cultivated that skill earlier in your life, you're going to have an easier time. And if you haven't, you really need to start cultivating it now, because any transition is so turbulent. I compare this to the, are you familiar with the hero's journey?
No.
So the hero's journey, Joseph Conrad wrote about it. It basically forms every book and movie that you see, every book that you read. There's a hero, the hero is called to do something, to change. The hero doesn't want to do it. then they make their way, and there's always a terrible time, a dark night of the soul. There's people that help them along the way, and then they eventually triumph and, you know, bring their knowledge back to their village. And that's what I sort of compare this whole journey to. I call it the heroine's journey sometimes. I don't know how gender correct that is, but this is really what's going on. So there is a falling apart. There is a real falling apart. I had that at 48. I had a couple of big life challenges, and I had some times where I thought, like, what's the point? What will be the point of me after this?
Yeah. And I guess you ask a lot of existential crisis like questions in this period, right? And you can either take this period, like you said, to build that resilience or learn from it, or you could just beat yourself up and just go the complete other way. So what would your advice be, perhaps, for younger women to train themselves for this period, for the pre-menopause phase or for the menopause phase? That's one side. And what would your advice be for women going through it? And what would be your advice for women who have passed it?
Well, the women who've passed it, I hope that they're doing well and having a grand old time. I'm looking forward to that. For women going through it, I'd say really hang in there, because I got to some very low points the year that I was 48. And 47, 48, they always talk about a U anyway in your life. Like the bottom of the U is the low point. And after that, things get better. That there's been studies for that for men and women. But really, I think the most important thing is there's not one magic bullet that can help you fix it. It really is a process of you figuring out bit by bit how to make it work. I see a lot, there's a real push for hormone replacement therapy, menopause hormone therapy, which is a lot more accessible and a lot safer than we previously thought it was. But from everyone I've talked to, including a lot of doctors, if you're not sorting out the lifestyle aspects, you know, if you have bad habits, if you have bad dietary habits, if you're not exercising, if you're not dealing with some of the way you process emotions, if you're not confronting some of the difficult relationships, getting the right supplements, you know, we all need magnesium, for example, you know, you're not getting nature, you're not getting outside, you've got bad habits on your phone. All of these things will make this much, much worse. Mm. And so I'd say just figuring out what your plan is bit by bit by bit. And for young women, I think the coolest thing, and this is happening, is to just not be scared of it. And you young guys are so, you're so like this. Like, you know, it's my friends who are 40 and 39 who don't want to talk about this. Mm. I work with some girls who are 25. They're all about it. They don't care. It doesn't matter. And that, you know, I was at 45 one morning, and I heard two girls behind me. And one girl said, I'm not going to come next Friday because I'm going to have my period and it'll be a really hard day. And I almost wanted to turn around and say, like, you knowing your body like that is so amazing. Because when I was that age, it was like, keep working out no matter how you feel. The magazines would tell you, you don't ever take a break. So I just see younger women just being so much more okay with the fluctuations of their body and being so much more sort of in tune with it. And I do see all these barriers breaking down. Like Gen X right now is doing it. Like there's a lot of women doing the work and paving the way. And I already see that the shame and stigma is going to be going away.
Absolutely. You're so right. And like, just like how I do agree with what you say, that the younger people, the younger women are a lot more aware. Also because of the information that's out there, the technologies that's out there that allow you to track and so on. Even when it comes to working out, I didn't know about this until very recently, how depending on what phase you're in, they can recommend what physical activity you should be doing, what kind of food you should be eating, and so on. So technology, as well as awareness and information, is allowing the younger generations to be in more tune and aware. And I just wish women who are much older had this, but it is what it is, right?
The most important thing is, if you're, you know, because your adrenal glands do a lot of the work during this transition and take over the function in this regard, it's just really important to not hit your late 30s burnt right out.
Okay.
And this happens in all sorts of ways. Over-exercising is a huge problem. As the editor of Love Healthy, I know that there's a lot of trainers, there's a lot of people in this country who are just exercising far too much.
So what's too much? What's over-exercising? What does that look like?
I just edited an article the other day about exercise addiction, and it's, you know, exercising when you're tired, exercising when you're injured, exercising, like sort of being dishonest a bit about how much you exercise, exercising to get that rush and not being okay if you don't.
Mm.
And I think in the fullness of time, exercise is going to, we're going to need a lot less exercise than we thought we did.
Interesting.
And if you're under eating, that just creates all sorts of metabolic problems by the time you hit your 40s. And I've spoken with metabolic experts, and, you know, this idea that we can't eat any sugar and we can't eat any fruit and we can't drink any juice. Like, these things are all changing. You know, these dietary restrictions that people have lived under, you can't have any carbs.
Yeah.
Like, if you're working out really, really hard and you don't eat any carbs, it's going to be really difficult. And if you're working like many, many, many hours and really burning yourself out, and we all know how that feels. And then with the phones and that tired, wired feeling, and, you know, just sort of mentally not giving yourself a break, not having good sleep, all this stuff, it means it's going to hit you that much harder. And there's genetics. It might hit you hard anyway. And 20% of women have nothing. So,
oh, so there are women who don't have
there's women who don't really have anything, which is always interesting, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. And not all women have a really hard time. I think it's about 20% of the women have a really hard time. And then there's that middle ground where people have, you know, variation. Wow.
So what would you say is, if you could give us an example of a healthy lifestyle, let's say for women who've never been into health and fitness and who are probably going through menopause or premenopause, what does a healthy lifestyle look like?
Well, what I've learned from the evidence is that you don't need to work. Like, this is not a time when heavy at duty HIIT classes are your friend. And I already noticed that in the last couple of years. Like, when I would do the hour-long F45, I could tire myself out for the rest of the day. And you can argue against that and just like drink coffee to power your way through, or you can say something's not quite right with this exercise. And so I would take a couple songs out of the hour and just like not do the exercise and sort of have the trainer look at me a bit weirdly. Walking is a really great exercise, and it's really important that women of this age do weight bearing exercise, because we are at a greater risk for quite a few health problems, three being osteoporosis. So that's why weight bearing exercise and exercise is important. Also cardiovascular disease and dementia. These are all big risk factors for us. So making sure you have really good sleep hygiene, like no phones in the room, making sure you try to sleep through the night, getting lots of nature, getting outside and getting morning sunlight is a new thing, grounding. As far as diet, I mean, it's raging, obviously, on social media between everyone in the space, what's the right way to eat. But I think it's important at this time to figure out what is the right way to eat for you. Mm. And so I'm figuring that out still, you know, because it's trial and error, and one person will tell you one thing and one person will tell you another. Another really important thing is to try and figure out, like, your purpose and what makes you light up, like what creatively are you doing that's important? Because a lot of us, you know, when I hit a big adrenal problem, when my eyelashes fell out, I went to see a naturopath, and she was really mean. She said, "You're telling me about your life, and all you do is work, and then you work out, and I don't see any creativity, I don't see any fun, and if you don't stop this, you're going to get really sick, and you might just get cancer or something like that, because you're just driving yourself, driving, which I'd done for a long time."
And how did you feel about that? How did you feel?
I didn't like it, hearing it, but it's one of those hard truths I heard in my life, because she was right. So like, I need a creative outlet. Like, even if it's just coloring, which I never do, but I always think I will do. Or I wrote a screenplay, and like doing that just filled me with joy.
Mm.
And then I think part of a healthy lifestyle is really addressing some of those shadow parts of yourself. And for me, this has been a game changer. So I had therapy, but I stopped it a couple of years ago, and then I just did my own thing. But I've read books about, you know, doing the work, addressing your trauma. I've taken some courses about codependency, about boundaries. I never had boundaries. I never learned how to do that stuff. All that stuff, if you don't know how to do that stuff by now, which a lot of my peers do not, it's going to make everything harder. And there's so much freedom when you work your way through that. Like I was just thinking the other day, like I don't feel ashamed or shame, which I used to feel a lot of. And then obviously that's healthier.
Yeah. Right? And I love that you're sharing this. And I was going to ask you about this as well. So considering that the loss of your self-esteem and going through all of this loss, of course, that's going to take a massive toll on you, right? And you're probably going to hit rock bottom. So what are some things that you did to reconstruct your self-esteem? So let's say if we're talking about shame, if we're talking about body insecurities, if we're talking about motherhood, what are some tips and tricks that you've tried and that have worked for you that you can share?
Well, when I was at like rock bottom in 2018, I just said, I was so sad. I lost like the love of my life. I lost my job and I had another betrayal. It was like a triplicate thing. Like no one died, but it felt like it, you know? And I just said to myself, I don't have to get through the rest of my life. I just have to get through like today, like this.
Because one day at a time.
Yeah, I was having a really hard time at that point being single, as I just thought I would be married and I would have kids. And so I was like 48, like what am I just
And this is what society tells you.
Yeah, so that was a really tough one for me. I had the same body image issues. I was a chubby kid and I'm a curvy girl. And so body image was a huge thing for me. And I just happened to start following Danae Mercer, who became someone I worked with at Live Healthy. She's a journalist and she's since left and moved to Italy, but she's back here. She's a great account just about body image. And just through following this girl who's like 20 years younger than me and having her, she has an amazing body, but she would just show the parts of her body the way that bodies are. And lo and behold, like, you know, that was 5 years ago, but after about a year, I was different. I was completely different. And she got me to do a shoot for, she was the editor of Women's Health when I met her, and she got me to do a photo shoot, which I'd never done before. And it was hard. I was still in the middle of it, you know, and I felt a bit chubby in the picture, but I wrote an essay for Women's Health about how I'd had this. I'd carried this for such a long time. And that was like really the beginning. So that I would say, I just said this to someone the other day, follow like on social media, pick like relentlessly positive people. And for me, it was strange people like Gary Vaynerchuk, the marketing guy, and Will Smith. Like I followed them. Tracy McMillan is a relationship person, Mark Groves. I took some of his courses. He runs Create the Love. And I took a bunch of his courses that changed everything. And so you're just following really, really relentlessly positive people who think differently. And then that makes you start to question everything. And I think questioning everything is the biggest part of this time of life. Because once you start saying everything I believed isn't true.
Yeah.
We're just told a whole bunch of stuff. I don't know why, to make us conform, to make us stay in line. And one of the biggest revelations I had around 49 was I thought there's no board of directors of the way things should be. But I've been believing this imaginary board of directors for my entire life. You know, just crazy things like, I don't even know. You should be married. You should be married and you should have kids. And if you don't, you'll have a lonely life. But when I look at my actual life, it wasn't lonely. It was like a super fun life that I chose every step of the way, by the way, but not, I felt like I wasn't choosing it. But when I look back, I was choosing it. So that, and I think a really important thing, because I used to have really tough mornings, I would open my eyes and it would be fine for a second. And then just like the doom or the anxiety would set in. And I would just have a morning routine. So I didn't give myself time for that. And the morning routine has changed over the years. I used to meditate and write in the journal. Now I do Wim Hof breathing and I do these like 5 Tibetan little moves. Sometimes I go for a walk, but just something to have as a regular thing. Because I think for me, if I left my mornings up to chance, the day could quickly go sideways.
Absolutely.
And alcohol is a big one. I think a lot of people use alcohol in an unhealthy way. I know that I had been. So
as a coping mechanism.
Yeah, and it does not mix with perimenopause in any way, shape, or form, because your body's going through a transition. And you know, if it doesn't give you anxiety and depression, it's going to give you, hit you really hard in other ways. That's an inconvenient truth.
So what I'm hearing is everything that you've done to help you cope with that transition comes down to taking responsibility and accountability for the whole thing, for the way you feel, for everything that you do, rather than being a victim to the whole process.
You've nailed it. And about 6 months after I had a crash, when everything happened, I was in my kitchen making tea, and I was basically screaming in my head, like, how can anyone let me be here like this? Like, doesn't anyone care that I'm in my house and I'm so upset? Mm-hmm. And there's this woman, Mel Robbins, and she's got a, you know, she's a motivational speaker, but there's a sound that goes around from her, like, no one's coming. Nobody's coming.
Yeah.
And, but I literally, that moment, it was before I even heard her say that, I just thought, no one cares. Are you sitting in your apartment caring about how your friend feels right now? Like you do care. Yeah. But ultimately, you have to take personal responsibility. And I realized I hadn't done that in any part of my life.
Yeah.
Really. It was just, and I think that happens to a lot of us.
Yeah.
A lot of us, yeah.
Wow, that's so powerful. And I love everything that we spoke about. And I love that you are being so vulnerable and open about all of this. So before we end this episode, I could speak to you for hours about this topic, by the way. But before we end this, do you have any last words for our viewers or for our listeners? What would you like to say?
Well, I think, you know, this is really changing. By 2025, there's going to be 1.1 billion women going through menopause. And women are talking about it. Celebrities are talking about it. In the last 2 years, it's exploded. And yeah, people are still uncomfortable talking about it, but that's definitely changing. And I don't like the focus on the loss. Of course, I'll talk about it. But the truth is, I always say this is going somewhere good.
Yeah.
You are becoming like the full person you were meant to be. There is a theory called the grandmother hypothesis that we are meant to go through menopause because when our fertility is over, we're so much more helpful to our tribe. And that's not just in taking care of the other kids. It's in bringing back our wisdom accumulated in our experience. And, you know, a lot of people will say we only go through menopause now because our life expectancy is longer, but it's not really true. I mean, yes, we didn't live as long before, but Aristotle spoke about menopause. You know, this has been going on for a long time.
Wow.
Animals go through menopause. There's giraffes now and some whales, and I think probably they're going to find out turtles soon if someone would just study it. But it's a transition, and I believe it's a path to, you know, there's all sorts of names for it. Second spring.
Being reborn.
Third age, being reborn, just becoming who you're meant to be. And there's so much time. Like, I launched Hot Flash. I want to write a book. Like, you can do, people are killing it in their 50s. And you just have to look at those people and put blinders on. Like, I honestly believe if you don't pay any attention to whatever you think society says about aging, you know, you hear a lot of women say, I'm invisible. I feel invisible. It's like, you only feel that way if you pay attention to it. Right? So it's going somewhere good. I firmly believe it because I'm already feeling it in myself and I see it in so many other women.
I love the positivity that you exude and the wisdom you've just shared with all the women who are listening to us right now. Thank you so much, Anne-Marie. I truly, truly appreciate it on behalf of everyone who's listening as well. Unfortunately, we have come to the end of our show and we look forward to having you on again. Until then, thank you for listening to our podcast and our episode today. I look forward to seeing each and every single one of you for our next episode. Until then, stay safe and live life.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.